At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
We're glad you're awake this morning for Morning Glory. We encourage you to listen to EWTN Open Line at 3 o'clock Eastern this afternoon. Father Mitch Pacwa addressing church teachings. Father Mitch will also be a guest with Al Cresta this afternoon on Saved, a Bible study for Catholics. He talked with us on Morning Glory about that. That's one of his new books. Cresta in the afternoon, the best way to get home later today on EWTN Radio. As you start your Wednesday, the 12th of July with Morning Glory, I'm Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy, our producer, and our godly counsel, Dominican Father Thomas Petrie.
Joining us now is Edward Fazer. He's an associate professor of Pasadena City College in California, and he has written a new book along with Joseph Bissett on the death penalty. The book is called By Man Shall His Blood Be Shed, A Catholic Defense of Capital Punishment by Ignatius Press. Ed, it's wonderful to have you with us this morning. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I have to tell you, I'm a big fan. I'm so happy that this book has finally been published. You know, some think, and there's reasons they think this appropriately, since the last three or four popes have said it, and it's a big talking point of the United States bishops, that the Catholic Church is absolutely opposed to the death penalty. But your book actually argues something different. Can you just give us a little synopsis of what the argument is?
Sure. What we argue in the book, and I would say the main motivation we had for writing the book, was to clarify this matter. The Church teaches that capital punishment, in fact, can be legitimate in principle. That this is the traditional teaching of the Church, going back to Scripture, to the fathers of the Church, the doctors of the Church, and 2,000 years of popes, that the Church, that capital punishment can be legitimate in principle, and not only as a way of defending society against immediate aggression on the part of some offender, but also as a means of securing retributive justice and deterrent. But that, too, we argue in the book, is something that is, in principle, a legitimate use of capital punishment, so that the tendency of recent popes to oppose capital punishment is in the nature of the case of what's called a prudential judgment rather than a matter of binding doctrinal principle. And we quote in the book then Cardinal Ratzinger, later to become Pope Benedict XVI, who in the year 2004 issued a memorandum that clarified this matter, and wherein he said, and here I'm using his exact language, that there, quote, there may be a legitimate diversity of opinion even among Catholics about applying the death penalty, unlike abortion and euthanasia, say. He even used the language, even went so far as to say that a Catholic could be, quote, at odds with the Holy Father on the issue of capital punishment and still be worthy to present himself for Holy Communion. So, but in the nature of the case, as Cardinal Ratzinger was clarifying, capital punishment, applying capital punishment in practice, is a prudential matter rather than a matter of binding doctrinal principle.
That's really an important distinction, and we talk about that quite a bit on this show with our listeners, the difference between prudential application and what's a binding doctrine. It'd be interesting to understand what is retributive justice. I have a difficulty explaining that to people because so often it sounds like revenge, right? Because the Catechism says, right, it seems to look at the death penalty only if it's the only possible way of effectively defending human lives. But retributive justice is not really about defense. How do you explain retributive justice to people to distinguish it from revenge?
Yeah, retributive justice is essentially inflicting on an offender a punishment that's proportionate to the gravity of his offense. It's giving someone his just deserts, as it were. And the way this differs from revenge is that revenge is not giving someone his just deserts. Revenge is excessively punishing someone, say, or punishing someone out of hatred rather than out of a motivation to secure justice. So revenge is really the distortion of retributive justice rather than the same thing as retributive justice. And the Church has always taught and continues to teach in the current catechism that retributive justice is not only one of the purposes of punishment, but it's really the primary purpose of punishment. There are other purposes as well, such as deterrence, such as the rehabilitation of the offender, but we can never punish someone unless that person also deserves the punishment. If we simply had deterrence in view or simply had rehabilitation in view, then in theory we could inflict very severe punishments to deter other people, or very severe punishments if we thought that it might help someone be rehabilitated. But this would be unjust because it would be giving someone more than he deserves. So even though retribution is not the only end in view when we punish, it must always be one of the ends in view. We can never punish unless someone deserves it. That's the basic idea, even though there's more to be said.
Right. I think that's an important distinction that's being lost. We're talking with Edward Faeser about his new book, By Man Shall His Blood Be Shed. It's on the Catholic defense of capital punishment. You know, Ed, I think when we talk about retributive justice, and I think there's a certain sense that concept has been lost in our society, that this is what justice is. It's restoring order. And sometimes there are crimes that are so heinous in which innocent life is treated so heinously that perhaps the death penalty is certainly warranted. Do you have any advice on how we can wrap our head around the thorny subject of emotion when it comes to punishment? You know, I think often about victims' families, and so often they want the death penalty, but they don't really know. Even good Catholics, sometimes they'll think, well, I shouldn't want this because I'm a Catholic. I should forgive. What advice can you give on that?
Well, I would say that the most important thing to keep in mind is, and as the remarks a moment ago about retributive justice indicate, that giving someone what he deserves is not fundamentally a matter of emotion. It's fundamentally a matter of reason. Now, because human beings of our nature, we're rational animals. That means we have both a rational side, like the angels do, and we have a bodily side, like the animals do. And the bodily side of our nature is the seat of our emotions and feelings. So we have both very strong feelings about giving someone what he deserves. But that doesn't mean it reduces merely to feelings. It's also a matter of the intellect, and it's fundamentally a matter of the intellect. It's fundamentally a reason that grasps that someone ought to be given what he deserves.
You know, I want to just sort of get in here that we don't have time to go into this in much detail, but obviously the application of the death penalty presumes absolute guilt of the offender being known, presumes a sort of just system. The fact that that sometimes doesn't happen in certain cases is not a judgment on the penalty itself. I think part of those issues with justice and fairness in the civil system is something I get often blowback or pushback on when I talk about the death penalty. And I'm wondering if you get the same sort of pushback. I'll tell you the argument that's often presented to me. The U.S. bishops are pretty much united saying that we shouldn't be doing the death penalty. The last few popes have said that. Is it appropriate then, even if people concede that the death penalty is part of the tradition, is it appropriate that we're out here publicly saying it's okay to be in favor of the death penalty?
I think it is because, for one thing, as the statement I quoted earlier from Cardinal Ratzinger indicated, the Church herself, when you consider everything the Church has actually said on this matter, the Church herself allows free discussion among Catholics on this issue. So Catholics who uphold it are really just exercising their rights as recognized by the Church herself. But furthermore, as you just indicated, precisely because capital punishment has always been regarded by the Church as legitimate, the tendency for opponents of capital punishment within the Church is to fall back on a lot of these prudential considerations about whether, for example, capital punishment really does deter, or whether it's applied in a racially discriminatory way, or whether it's applied in an arbitrary way, or what have you. Well, those are empirical questions about which there is disagreement. And often when churchmen make statements on capital punishment, they make statements about deterrence value or about alleged racial discrimination or about cases where innocent people have allegedly been executed. They make these statements in kind of a peremptory way, as if it were simply known, it were simply understood that capital punishment has no deterrence value or that it's racially discriminatory. But as we show in the book, those statements actually don't hold up to scrutiny.
Wow.
And they are considerations that churchmen have no special competence over.
Right.
And so it's perfectly legitimate for Catholics who do have competence, for Catholic social scientists, for example, it's perfectly legitimate for them to make their opinion known, as their opinion known to the Church, as canon law itself allows.
Ed, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Edward Faeser, he's the co-author of By Man Shall His Blood Be Shed, A Catholic Defense of Capital Punishment. He's co-author of, along with Joseph Bissett. The book is available, Ignatius Press, which you can find at ignatius.com. Thank you, Ed, for joining us. Wonderful, wonderful work, my friend, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Stimulating conversation, and Father will have more thoughts of his own on the death penalty right after some Catholic chatter. Now at 25 after the hour, here's Elisa Murphy.
We heard from our good friend Amy regarding our conversation yesterday with Sheila Hopkins of the National Council for Catholic Women on Abuse, and she very much appreciates the work that they're doing in those efforts. We also heard from Jeff, who very much enjoys having Father Petrie back with us in studio and very much enjoyed the conversation on the death penalty.
That's great. You know, I think on the death penalty, I teach this stuff. You know, I teach it to college students. I teach it to our seminarians, our student brothers at the Dominican House of Studies. This is my area. It's moral theology. Now, I don't want to be known as sort of the priest who's advocating the death penalty. Mm. I just think that it's important that Catholics understand where the boundaries are of things that we can legitimately discuss and debate with each other. And that's important. We're not – Catholicism does not demand that you simply blindly accept everything and it shuts down debate. There are some things, yes, we have to shut down debate on things that are black and white. There are black and white moral issues like do not kill innocent people, abortion, euthanasia, do not kill civilians in war, do not target them. But then there are legitimate, as you know, Ed was saying, there are legitimate issues that are a matter of prudence. Like, is this war a just war that we're fighting? Is this the way I should be helping the poor? Is this the policy that our country should adopt for immigrants or for helping those who need financial assistance? And the death penalty is part of that. And all the popes, you know, certainly St. John Paul II, when he proposed in Evangelium Vitae, sort of limiting the death penalty, he acknowledged that in that document. So I guess what I sort of get nervous about is when Catholics are told by whether they're non-Catholic politicians or sometimes even by other Catholics that you're a bad Catholic if you are having issues or if you have disagreements about this particular issue.
And don't you think these discussions actually make us better Catholics?
Absolutely.
We find the reason for the thinking or the teaching versus...
And I also thought it was the point that says it has to be a just situation.
A just situation.
Mm-hmm. Very important. We have news next. It's 28 after the hour on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.